I am happy all the day.
Let's pray.
Most wonderful and gracious Father of heaven, the creator of all, our Savior, our Lord, our guide, our comforter, we come to you this morning, Father, with bowed heads and humbled hearts, asking that you might forgive us of our sins as we approach your holy throne of grace, knowing full well that, Father, if it wasn't for grace, we certainly wouldn't have any option of all of getting to know who you are and certainly walking with you and your darling son, Jesus Christ, that his blood might cleanse us of our sins. We certainly, Father, petition you for forgiveness on this morning because we know we do sin and fall short of your glory every week and morning of our lives. And we're grateful for the Christ. We're grateful, Father, that he stands in our stead and he advocates for us that you might see us and you might understand us and hear us and answer our prayers. We're grateful, Father, for your word and ask that the Holy Spirit might continue to guide us in all things concerning your will for us in our lives. And as we study your word this morning, ask that our hearts and minds might be open, that we might perceive the things that you've given to us and use those as a wonderful application in our lives, that people might see you in us and glorify you as a result of that. Ask that you might be with those who are sick, those who are grieving at this time. Be with those who are filled with joy and those who have successes as well. We ask that you might continue, Father, allow us to be your people and that you will continue to be our God. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. We are going to start a new book on next Sunday, if it's God's will, right? And that book, I've been going back and forth, hacking back and forth. We're going to take a look at Daniel. Go back and take a look at Daniel, and we're going to do 12 lessons on Daniel. And the first lesson is going to be in Daniel chapter what, Sister Lynn?
Chapter 1.
Very good. Daniel chapter 1. Sister Lynn, be on it. Start out with Daniel chapter 1 on next week. So read that, and we're going to see about the graciousness of God, how he gives us the things that we need, not just simply the things that we want. Daniel chapter 1 will be our lesson for next week. This week, what we're looking at is we took a look at Jacob throughout the book of Genesis and his life, and now God has called him to become a nation of people. He had kept his promise to him as well. You want to look at his blessings and his 12 sons this morning, the 12 sons of Jacob. Now keep in mind, a lot of people kind of, I guess they interchange these, but the 12 tribes of Jacob, it's not necessarily the 12 sons of Jacob, right? Right? Yeah, when you look at it, it's two different lists, and we're going to see why this morning, hopefully why the lists are just that differently. Now Jacob is at the end of his life in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 29, and he is reunited with his lost son. Who was his lost son? Joseph. He is reunited with Joseph, and he makes Joseph take an oath, he says, that he will not bury his body in Egypt, but bury it in the promised land with his fathers. So Joseph takes the oath to bury his father in the promised land, and Jacob understands that the promises of God, and he believes that his children will be back on that land because God has given him a promise. Not only has God given Jacob a promise, God has changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Israel. And Israel has become a nation of God's people. And even in today's time, when we look at the church has become God's spiritual Israel. We become the Israel of God because we are the nation of God as well. Joseph, again, is getting ready to die. And in chapter 48, verse number 1, Jacob tells Joseph how the Lord appeared to him and proclaimed his promises to him. And he says, I want you to notice the thing that he tells his son in verse number 5 of chapter 48. Jacob tells Joseph that even though his two sons were born in Egypt, they will belong to Jacob as equally as Reuben and Simeon. And what two sons do you think he's talking about right there? Ephraim and Manasseh. And he's getting ready to give Joseph a blessing with these two sons of his in this particular chapter. He says, even though these guys were born in Egypt, they're going to belong to me just as if they were born from my bosom, just like Reuben and Simeon were. You will read about them tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim and find out all through Scripture. We looked at them, a couple things about them when we studied the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. We saw a lot of things about the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. But instead, Joseph's two sons will be counted just like Reuben and Simeon as well, even though they were born in Egypt. Now, what this does is it allows God to keep his promises to his people. Because what you know is that Joseph brings his two sons before Jacob. And the Bible says in verse 48 that he's old now. His eyesight is very poor. You remember when Jacob and Esau was getting ready to get their birthright, their dad's eyesight was a little poor at the time too, wasn't it? He was even tricked because one of the guys says, I'm going to put some hair on my arms and I'm going to fix this stew and we're going to fool him. But this time there's no deceit going on here at all. Jacob is really to the point where his vision is not where it needs to be. So he comes along and he gets those two guys together and he blesses them. He blesses them. And then when you look at at what happens here, Jacob says in verse 19 that he knows what he's done, because Joseph thinks that because his father seemed poor, he's made a mistake. Because what happens is when he gets ready to bless those two guys, he crosses his hands. Right? Manasseh should have the birthright because he's the oldest and not Ephraim. But he crosses his hands and Joseph says, no, wait a minute. You're not seeing too well. You got your hands crossed up. You blessing the younger and not the old. Not Manasseh will be the greater. And you'll find later on as you continue to read about the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel is referred to as Ephraim a lot of times. Ephraim says we'll be strong and will represent those of us who are in Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, those two sons of Joseph. He further declares that God will be with Joseph and bring him back to the promised land. So now, we get to the point where the blessings from Jacob is going to be dispensed. And when we look at those blessings, the first blessing comes to a guy by the name of Reuben. And what do you think is going to happen with him? We've read it. We know the story. What happens with Reuben when Jacob, his father, decides to give him a blessing? Chapter 49. Right? Y'all there? Reuben's blessing comes first, but Reuben is disqualified from being the firstborn to get this blessing because he lacked self-control and it defiled his father's bed. Remember that? Yeah. So we remember that in that culture, the oldest was always the one to receive the blessing, to receive the birthright, to be in charge of the family once the patriarch moves on. He was the one. Reuben couldn't have it. He says, Reuben, you came up to my bed, so I can't give you that right, that blessing. Then the next two sons are who? Do they get the blessing? Why don't they get the blessing? We studied that in our last studies. Yeah. She was raped, and the Bible says they were furious, they were angry, and they went on a tear, didn't they? And the tear included deceit, where they deceived the people of the city. It says, look, if all y'all guys get circumcised, And we're going to marry your daughters, let you marry our daughters, and we're going to all be fine, well, and good. And the Bible says while them guys was healing, they tore down the city. Not only did they tear the city down, they killed them. Can you imagine that? What'd you say, Sister Collin? But we're dealing with God here, right? We're dealing with God and his promises being kept. So Leah has the first four sons, and the fourth son is the one that gets the blessing. Then the fifth son's name is Dan, right? What do we know about Dan? Anything? Did he? Here's what happened with Dan. You remember when they was trying to divide the land and Dan came along and he ravaged that city and he says, look, we don't have no land. Y'all never. And the reason why Dan didn't have any land is because they refused to do what? Huh? Right. And they refused to push the people out of the land. Remember that? So here comes Dan comes along and he sweeps from the south going up to the north and he kills people and he goes and takes the land for himself. Not only does that, he takes the guy's concubines, he takes the guy's priests, he takes the guy's idols. Y'all remember that story? And he goes and he's settling his own land. He was almost a rogue, Dan was. He swept through and he did that. So that was Dan's story. And his name, the meaning of his name was just like the sister said, the meaning of his name was judge. What you got? Oh, water. Appreciate you. Dan's mother was, though, who was Dan's mother? Bilhah. And who was Bilhah? Of who? Yeah. Of the one that he loved. Yeah. Thank you, bro. Rachel wasn't bearing any kids at the time. So Bill. Just started laughing. Look, I grew up in that era where they had the shotgun house and the man, look, he had a family on this side, family on that side. And the women was always at odds, right? And the children couldn't get along. But God had a plan, didn't he? He had a plan. So now we have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, and Naphtali, right? Who's next? Come on, tell me, come on, give me the next one. Yeah, Zilpah is next to have children, and she has a son by the name of Gad. And Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. He was a trooper, invader for good fortune, it said. Gad was Leah's handmaiden. Again, so here's Leah responsible for another one, right? Zilpah had Leah's servant named Dan. Then comes Asher, again from Leah's servant. Leah said, I'm happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. So we have Reuben, Simeon, y'all getting it? Reuben, Simeon, right? Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Issachar is the next one. And his mother and Zebulun's mother, again, is Leah. Leah had how many children for Jacob? More than just about half of the whole tribe. And remember, she was not loved by him. Isn't that incredible? What'd you say about that, Sister Jackson? She got about half of them. They had to endure that, not being loved. But you know what?
God loves us all. He sees us all, right? That's what Hagar said. When Hagar was banned, when Sarah put her out away from the family, she says, get out of here with your son. And she was in the desert dying, and God saw her, right? So whenever you think you're going through conflict or you think you're going through trouble and you strike out on your own or you're being forced out, God always sees us in our distress and our trouble, and he rescues us. These stories are there for a reason, so we can be encouraged and know full well, man or woman, whether you're a child or whoever you are, God sees us. Not only in our distresses, he sees us in our victories as well. And now we're down to the factor where Leah has two more children. The next son's name is Issachar. Leah said, God has given me her because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Then comes Zebulun. And she said about him, now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne with him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Still, two more sons, and she's still not connected with her. How you do that? How you do that? Are you just roommates or what? Can somebody explain that to me? I had six sons for this man. This man still does not love me. What is that about? But you see the distress I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the distress of this one woman who was married to this man first, because that's the way the culture and the law provided. He thought he was getting somebody else, but he got the wife that the law provided him with. And all those years, he spent 20 years, remember? 20 years in Haran. Left Haran. Now, still, after all those years, the Bible doesn't say how many more years have passed, but I guarantee you it's more than what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years or so, right? And he's still on almost 30 years, and you still don't love me? You've been with me 30 years?
But he chose that because he's always, he chose Rachel from the very beginning.
Right. Understand this. Why do you choose not to love and still continue to procreate with them? How do you do that? Y'all just said y'all ain't putting up with that. I heard a woman in here say they put up with it. Not yet. But it's in some cultures today, right? But so you mean to tell me, y'all? Okay, here comes Sister Collins. I'm bringing this woman in here for you. Bring this woman in here for you. We need to have another child. She did it before. My wife used to bring home this woman all the time to the house. I'm telling you the truth. Look, every time. And I love that woman. Her name was Little Debbie. I said, you got to stop bringing her home. I love her. Had to get her out of there, because that's what now our culture, right? All right, y'all. All right. Go ahead, Sid. Bingo. Yes, yes. And having two and three of them. Don't be the woman to have the girl and the other one have the boy?
Right.
Oh.
But you know what? I don't want nobody to have the
Go ahead, bro.
In Africa and in some of those Middle Eastern countries, it's more than one wife, but one husband. It's you know, God said, just one, but it was allowed, and they're still doing it.
Yeah. And he got my neighbor across the street. How many wives he got over there? About 3 or 4, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
Right across the street. It's right upon us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. I got about 4 women over there.
No, you don't know how many.
Oh, I didn't count them from the window. So we got Reuben. Come on, y'all help me. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, and Zebulun. And now we get back to the one that he loves, Rachel, right? Rachel has the last 2 children for her husband, Israel. What's the 11th child's name?
Joseph.
What do you know about him? And he did.
Joseph also had that dream.
Sometimes you got to be quiet. Huh? What'd you say about that, bro? That sounds like a 3.5 to me. but Joseph was one. When you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph's life overshadows the life of the Christ, right? That's exactly what happens. Because if you look, and when Joseph finally meets his brothers, Joseph he's real emotional. He's happy to see his brother. The Bible says, he cries and he weeps on their chest. They're weeping together. And he reveals himself to them, and they get afraid. He says, don't worry about nothing. We good now. And here's the statement that was made that we should always remember in our lives, because it applies to us as well. When somebody does us wrong, we should always refer back to this, because it'll help us tremendously. You know what Joseph told his brothers? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for, yeah. And that's the way the world is going to treat us. Even in the church, sometimes you're going to be treated that way, where people mean things for evil, but God is always, man, he keeps his promises. And he will protect us through anything. Let me tell you what happened to Joseph. When you think in your life, and you might hear this again, you know, a little bit later on. When you think in your life that things are just going awry for you, nothing seems to turn around. If you just keep making birthdays and you keep having faith in God, you're going to find that things are going to turn around for you. Because God is not going to sit and allow you to suffer over and over and over again without coming to your rescue, especially if you are asking him for rescue. Isn't that right? And we've got to know that. But we can't have a heart that says, I want you to rescue me, but once I get out the situation, I'm kind of done with you. Right? We do that all the time. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, man, he says, I went fishing. He says, and he wasn't even a Christian, so I don't know how he came up with this story. He says, and I was out there on his boat in this water by myself. He says, it started lightning and thundering. And lightning was getting closer and closer to him, and the lightning even hit a tree. He says, about 20 yards away from me. He says, and I looked to the sky and I told God, if you get me out of this swamp today, I'm going to serve you forever. And I ain't never coming fishing like this. Well, you know what happened. And didn't think about God ever again. Not one time. Not one time. And we find ourselves in that situation sometimes. We find ourselves in distress. Find ourselves sometimes in trouble. And we pour our hearts out to God to help us with no intention of serving him after he bails us out. Right? Just get me out of jail. Just get me out. And I'm going to give you your bail money. Ain't happening. Right? we got to think about that. We got to think about that as well. God gives to us, and he doesn't ever expect anything in return except service. How much of that do we have to give to him? How much gratitude do we have to give to God? Because he expects that from us. If nothing else, we ought to be grateful to God every waking moment of our lives, because he delivers us every waking moment of our lives. And this family of 12, Joseph, we talk about Joseph and how he, the Bible says God sent him before his brothers that he might deliver them and deliver his whole family. He did just that. God sent Jesus at just the right time for us, that he might deliver us from all those things that were meant for evil for us, even to save us from ourselves. And Jesus came and he rescued us just the exact same way. Joseph's life is a shadow of the Christ. Shadow of the Christ. And then there's Benjamin. As her soul was leaving her, right? She died in childbirth, delivering Benjamin. The Bible says her soul was leaving her. She called his name Ben-Ami, but his father called his name Benjamin. Benjamin, son of the right hand, Benjamin. And she was buried, and Benjamin was born, and he was loved by his dad Israel as well. When you look at the story of the brothers traveling back and forth to Egypt, Joseph asked a specific thing of the brothers. He says, listen, you bring me your younger brother. Bring him to me. And when you bring me your younger brother, I'll give y'all whatever it is that y'all need, but you bring him to me. And of course, the dad didn't want to let him go. Why? Because he says, I already lost Joseph. Now I'm going to lose Benjamin as well. And he loved those two boys because they were sons of who?
Rachel.
The other boys were too old now, you know, the first four, right? They were for Leah, right? He says, listen, these two boys were the boys that I love because they're for the woman that I love. I've lost one. You can't take this up. He says, if you take Benjamin away from me and he doesn't come back, I'm going to die right here. I'm going to die. You know, sometimes as parents, we do have favorites. I mean, you don't have to admit that, but we do. But we love all our kids equally as well. We do. But at some point in our lives, we have to realize that everybody needs the exact same thing when it comes to parenting. You think about God and which one of us is his favorite. You'd like to think that, right? Yeah. But what are we doing to garner that favoritism that comes from God when he doesn't even show anybody favoritism? He doesn't. He's no respecter of persons, Acts chapter 10, house of Cornelius. He's no respecter of persons. God sees us all the same, the exact same way. And he has put together a nation of his people that through these 12, we might be the descendants of God and be called the spiritual Israel of God, to be called God's children, the nation of Israel. That's who we are in a spiritual sense. And all of us have dysfunctions as well. And God still sees us and he still loves us. We're not all born from the same woman either, right? But we're all born of God. And that makes us special. It makes us a people of God that should never lack for anything, never want for anything. And the people of God who should always be grateful that God has brought us together through Jesus Christ, that we might inherit the promise. Because that promise was made to Abraham a long time ago. He says, your descendants will be as the sands by the beach, as numerous as the stars. Imagine that. All the way back from Abraham up until now, imagine how many people belong to God that he has chosen from the bosom of Israel, through Judah, Christ, and now we're born in Christ. Same lineage, it's incredible. We are heirs of the promises of God, and he keeps them. And I'm grateful for that. So when you look at the story of Jacob, look at the story of his 12 sons, we come to the point where we have derived that we are that nation of people as well. And just like those 12 sons, there's nothing new under the sun with us either. But then you talk about the 12 tribes of Israel. It's totally different from the 12 sons, right? Because in the 12 tribes, who's excluded in the 12 tribes? Let me see if y'all remember that.
Levi.
And who else?
Joseph.
Yes. Levi and Joseph is excluded. Levi is excluded because he's taking care of the worship service of God. So he doesn't have any land or anything like that that God is going to give to him. That's where the tithe comes in at for the other 11 tribes to give a tenth of the first thing that passes under the rod. Not 10%, because that wasn't in effect then. Understand that. Every tenth thing that passed under the rod belonged to the Levites so they can take care of their families as well. Now, why does that make a difference? Because when people talk to you about tithing being 10%, you have to understand that God would never take anything that had spot or blemish, right? So if you had 15 chickens, every 10th chicken that passed on the rod belonged to God. You couldn't give him 1.5, because the half would be blemished. 1.5 chickens, you don't want that. It was clearly stated, every 10th thing. Now, if he had 21 chickens, then how many you had to give him? 2, because every 10th thing that passed on the rod. It wasn't a percentage system. So when you start talking about tithing, I need you to understand that. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and look at it. Because people tell you all the time, oh, we tithe, we did with. Nah, that's, God, Colossians 2 took away that. He nailed it to the cross with the law. There's no more tithing. And even us in this day and age in the church, we still think we tithing. We're not. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians says that we give as we prosper, right? And it's every 10th thing that they had to give. The Levite priests themselves, when you look at Malachi, they were acting crazy themselves because they had to tithe to God as well. But they wasn't giving that tithe to God. That's why you say, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. The Baptists get that all skewed up all the time. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse because there's enough in my storehouse. I'm going to pull you out a blessing, right? They were wicked Levitical priests who they were talking to. Go look at it and see. Well, nothing that you can sit and brag on and say, hey, I'm bringing my tithe. No, they weren't doing right. And he was correcting them. Malachi chapter 3, check it out. It's there. Just a little sidebar for you, all right? Because people come at you all the time with that. We see that every day about tithing, don't we? And some of us might have thought we learn as we go, right, Sister Jackson? Yeah. If y'all want tithe, look me up and give me that 10%. I'll take that. But that's not required by God. What's required by God is giving. It's giving. So we have Jacob. We have his story. We have his blessings. The tribes of Israel, or 12 tribes. And the tribes are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan. I'm sorry. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. That's the tribes. Not the 12 sons, but the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? And the reason why those two guys got to be there is because Joseph received a blessing from his father as well. Anybody got anything else on Jacob and these sons? Anybody got a favorite son? Anybody? Joseph is your favorite? Why is that?
Well, because of what he went through, because of the story. I actually named my son after Joseph because of everything I read in the story of Joseph. And how he went through the different trials and how even through all of that, he still maintained.
He did. He did. Anybody here got a son named Naphtali? No, huh? How about you, Brother Fred? You son named Naphtali? But we see Dan. We see Dan, right? We see Reuben. We see some named Simeon. We see Asher's out as well, right? I don't know. Maybe people have their sons named Zebulun or Gad, but I'm not familiar with it. And we see Benjamin, don't we? Yeah, we do. But what we need to see more than anything else is a name that God gives each and every one of us, and that name is Christian. Christian. And that should be a favorite name of every one of us, because this is a name that God has given us. Not only is it a name, it is a birthright if you're born into Christ. There are those who have never been born into Christ who don't even know who Jesus the Christ is. From the bosom of Abraham all the way up until now to the body of Christ, there are people who don't know who God and who the Christ is. And it's our mission as a nation of Israel to draw them in and allow them to be adopted as sons just as we are. We've been grafted in. We didn't have the birthright. Christ had the birthright, and he grafted us in because we were not of the nation of God. We were Gentiles, right? Groping in the dark. And here comes Jesus. He adopts us as sons, and we become children of God and heirs of the promises of God. From Abraham, even up to now, we are spiritual Israel, and thank God for that. We are the church, God's children. So never take that for granted, and never let anybody give you any skewed ideas about what it is and to be a child of God and how it fits into our lives. We have history, and we can prove everything from the beginning even up until now. And we have to understand that history and use that history to be able to convince people that God is who he said he is and will continue to be who he said he is, because he does not change like shifting shadows, right? Anybody got anything else they want to say before we talk about what we're going to do in the following weeks? Anybody? Look at those 12 sons. Look at them. And see what it is that you can glean from it that can help you with your own life as well. We've looked at the life of Jacob. And from the life of Jacob, we found that just because you're God's chosen doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle. And in your struggle, you're going to find that God's going to rescue you as well. And he's going to keep his promises to each and every one of us. We got to have faith to know that. Got to have faith to believe that. Next week and in the coming weeks, if it's God's will, we're going to be studying the book of Daniel. Daniel. Boy, y'all look excited about that one, right? Yeah. Daniel. And we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1. So please take a look at Daniel chapter 1 for next week. And if nobody has anything else, let us pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to look into your word and see those things that sometimes are just obscure and sometimes on the surface, and allow us to understand those things that as we look into your word and take a deep dive, we can know full well that those lessons that are there are for us, for our lives, that we might indeed, Father, inherit the kingdom of God and see your face one day as well. We thank you, Father, for calling us, for allowing us to be the ecclesia, the called of God, and becoming spiritual Israel. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who continues to guide us, embrace us, and allow us to understand your will and your word for our lives. Be with us and continue with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the Christ. Thank you for your salvation. These are all blessings we ask in his name. Amen.